We are wrapping up the series on Jesus, the heart of Jesus. And what's so amazing to me is that Jesus himself emphasized that he is gentle and lowly. Even God in the Old Testament, what did he emphasize? He's full of compassion. Wow. The awesome Creator, that's how he describes his heart. Well, today, the perspective that we're going to look at is a little bit different. Most of the time we've been looking at directly at his heart and what's going on there. Today we're going to look at the big perspective of what was going on for God to reveal himself this way with Jesus. For Jesus to have that kind of heart, we're going to go way back to before the creation of the world. What was God's plan in revealing his heart to people? As I've done this in the past, and again this week, the last few weeks, thinking about this perspective, my heart has been touched deeply. And yeah, I've had some cheerful conversations with the Lord. Just my heart's been melted seeing that perspective of what how he was wanting to reveal himself and who he wanted to reveal himself to, including me. Wow, that's amazing. That's what we're going to talk about. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit's help. Holy Spirit, here we are again. You've given us another day. We're on a journey. We don't know how many more days before we're going to sit down with you. The marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. We're a day closer. We're excited about that. But here we are. Another day in a broken world. Another day we need help. Every minute of the day we need your help. We're here spending time worshiping you, thinking about you, time of your word. Help us understand. You're the one with answers. You're our life. Help us understand how you think, what your heart is, so we can be in tune with you and walk with you and experience you in every way possible. Pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. To help you understand the value of understanding the plan, I'm going to start off with an analogy. This analogy is about a runner who has just done an amazing feat in the last few minutes, a few months. And when you see this picture, if you're on this country road, it's not really like Kansas, but you know, maybe some other place here in the U.S. If you're traveling and see this guy running on the road, what would you think? Oh, some guy out there getting some exercise. That's good. I'm glad he's getting exercise. You wouldn't think much of it. Next picture here. You see these two guys on the road. Oh, looks like the guy I saw back there. There's two of them there. I wonder how they just get some exercise on a country road. You don't see too many people getting exercise out there on a country road. But if you knew what this guy had planned in the blue shirt, you would be in awe. Let me watch this 20-second video to introduce it.
Imagine running was a marathon a day for more than 3 months, 3,000 miles, across the length of Mexico. That's what Airman Silva was running behind me is doing. We're about 24 miles into a 35-mile run. Just another day for him and for Yaco Quinones.
Give you a different perspective on who that guy is, doesn't it? This guy, Herman Silva, well, first of all, he is a two-time winner of the New York City Marathon in the 90s, back-to-back. The story of him losing his way near the end, heading off the wrong direction. After he finally figured out how to get back on the track, he still won the marathon. There's a documentary that's being made about him running across Mexico on November 5, last November 5. He started in the northernmost corner by California, Mexico, running. He finished February 20, just a few weeks ago. He, in 111 days, he ran 120 marathons. More than a marathon a day. Oh my, and that's a map of the route that he took across Mexico. Okay, that's a little analogy. We'll get back to it. pretty soon here. Maybe you can just leave that slide up while I turn over to another brief picture. John 13, we read of a Jewish rabbi, quite common, all kind of rabbis back there in the time of the New Testament. He had some disciples, followers, all good Jews eat a Passover. That's what they're doing in this room. No big deal. This guy named Jesus Christ is having a Passover at his meal. But it's interesting to read in John 13, begin there. It was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. That's how the NIV puts it. And ESV says he loved them to the end. Okay, well, what's so unusual about that? That's what we're going to take some time looking at. On the surface, nothing real unusual. Okay? He loves his disciples. But when we understand this was part of a massive plan, long planned out documentary, if you want to call it, and that is the most amazing plan of God was out to demonstrate his wisdom, his love, and his grace. And when we see that, our mouths are much more in awe, far more in awe of this guy than this guy here running across Mexico. How can any person do that? Marathon after marathon, month after month. Jesus, more amazing when he realized what was going on with him. So we're going to spend some time to get a perspective of that. We're going to look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, then chapter 1, then chapter 2. All in the same book to get that big perspective of what was happening in God's work in revealing his heart through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll read this section here and I want to point out a few things. He says, Paul's writing here, he says, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, looking at this passage, the first obvious thing is that God had a plan. A plan far into the past that says hidden for ages in God. Okay, we're going to build on these points, but that's the starter here. And the next point that we can see from this passage, God's plan was to show the wisdom of God to spiritual beings. Like we see, just stated clearly in this passage. How many spiritual beings? We don't know the numbers, but my mind went to Revelation 5:11. There it says, the angels around the throne in the future, 10,000 times 10,000 angels. I don't know if that's the limit, but at least that many. That means there's millions. 10,000 times 10,000, add all those zeros on there. That means millions. There's millions of angels with God. So God had a plan. What was his plan? He wanted to demonstrate his wisdom. That's what it says here. To the spiritual beings. Wow. This is interesting stuff. Big stuff. We don't normally think about that. And then it also says, we see in this passage, God's wisdom, he'd be showing it through the church, through his people. We're part of that. Anyone who puts their trust in Jesus becomes a part of the church. Okay, let's go to another passage. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. We'll read it through. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, in the beloved, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Things in heaven and things on earth. Got some more information about what's going on. Details of the plan that God has had. So, back to our first bullet point. We already recognize that God had a plan, part of the past, and here it defines it. Before the foundation of the world, before the creation of the world, he had this plan. God's plan is to show the wisdom of God to spiritual beings. Okay, we looked at that. This plan was for Jesus Christ to lovingly lavish the riches of his grace on us. This is how big part of how he's going to show his wisdom to the other spiritual beings. Look at what I am going to do for these people through my son, Jesus Christ. Lovingly lavish. He's doing things, my understanding, that these spiritual beings had never seen done before to this extent. It's big time stuff. Creator of the universe showing his heart to these other spiritual beings in a way that had never been accomplished to this degree, to this extent. And then the third bullet point, God's wisdom would be shown through the church. We are some of the recipients of this amazing plan. In this passage, to us. Of course, Paul was writing it. We didn't live then, but it's very clear. You know, he came on the scene after Jesus had left. It included him. We came on the scene after he left. Jesus is praying for future followers. There's so many things. So it's for us. We're part of that big plan. He's going to pour out his love and grace to you. For us. Okay, spiritual authorities, watch how much I can love this guy Mike Bergen. Just watch it. You've never seen anything like him. Each of you guys, spiritual beings go, wow, really? It's in awe. More in awe. They're going to be more in awe than we stand at the Herman Silva running across Mexico. Okay, another passage, Ephesians chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, there it is again, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We're getting more meat on the bone, so to speak. Okay, that bullet point. God had a plan far into the past, before he created the world. I'm not going to add on there, but this next bullet point. God's plan is to show the wisdom of God to spiritual beings. And this plan was for Jesus Christ to lovingly lavish the riches of his grace on us. The immeasurable riches of God's grace are showcased in Jesus Christ. We're the recipients. But Jesus Christ, star, he's the showcase of love of the heart of the Creator, is showcased in Jesus Christ. And the next bullet point, God's wisdom would be shown through the church. We are some of the recipients of this amazing plan, which includes the immeasurable riches of Jesus' love and grace toward us. We cannot measure. We do not know how much it is. We're slowly getting an understanding, bit by bit. All my life, I don't know how many more years it's getting me. For 66 years, I've been exposed to God's love. I'm still seeing more of the dimensions of it and experiencing more of it. And it's never going to run out. He says here, immeasurable, the riches of his grace toward us, toward me. So let's summarize. I tried to boil these down. In summary, before God created the world, He had a plan to show his wisdom, which includes his unfathomable love and immeasurable grace. He wanted to show that to the other spiritual beings. What was his plan of how to do that? He planned to show his wisdom, love, and grace to people he would create. That's how he'd do it. Here we are. He planned to show his wisdom, love, and grace through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Simple. But it's awesome when you find, the more you find out about what's going on. We're going to spend a little bit of time looking at more detail of what made it so awesome. And I want to acknowledge that it's a big subject, and we're talking about God showing his love through Jesus to us. There's so many questions that come up. Well, if he's so loving, why does he allow this? Why does he allow so much death and destruction? People going to hell and suffering so much, just agonizing, the stories we hear on the news. Where's loving God? Just big questions that I'm still struggling with. I don't know the answers. I can't give the answers. We can get glimpses here in the Word, but we'll never understand it all. Why did he create people with a free will and allow them to wreck their lives and wreck other people's lives and end up in hell? Why? How? That's not the purpose of this message, to answer those questions. I just want to acknowledge they're out there. And what we're focusing on is the Creator's plan to reveal his wisdom, his heart of love. So to look at his love and the amazing performance of his love through Jesus, we're going to look at what really brings things out like that for a runner. Like for a runner, what brings it out is the stress, the opposition, the challenges in his life bring out the awesomeness of that runner. And it's similar with Jesus. When we see what was going on in John 13, ESV says he loved his disciples to the end. And now, to help you appreciate how that happens, let's look at this runner a little bit more. Herman Silva, who just finished up this amazing feat, February 20. Kevin Seif, he was that guy that you saw in that short video. He's with the Washington Post. He joined Herman Silva about halfway across Mexico. And here's a little more detail of what he learned from Herman in the process of visiting him. When he first met Herman at a restaurant, he says, I watched Silva limp up the steps that led to the restaurant. He limped as if he had just torn his ACL. And Kevin found out that Herman's toenails were falling off, his left calf hurt, and his right hamstring, and basically everything else, is what Kevin says. And then he goes on and says, Herman often runs during the hottest hours of the day. He rarely checks the topography of his route. Shouldn't a good runner know what he's getting into? He tries to make his running shoes more comfortable by slicing holes in them with scissors. He's gone through 18 pairs so far, halfway through that marathon. So Kevin Seif had just run a marathon in 2 hours and 48 minutes, 2 weeks before he visited Herman. He said, I'm a pretty good runner. I don't know, what's your time, Johnny? 2:44. So he could keep up with Johnny, I think, Kevin Seif. And we all know Johnny's good. So Kevin said, I think I could keep up with this guy for one day at least. And he's doing it for weeks after weeks. Surely I can keep with him one day. So he goes out and runs with him. And he turns on the recorder to record his experience there. And he says, Kevin says, I could pinpoint the exact moment I knew I wouldn't finish the day with Silva. We were about 25 miles into the run. Silva saw what appeared to be the peak of the mountain that they were working their way up. And Herman says, we should get some downhill after that. But when they turned the corner, the road shot up another incline. And Kevin says, I can hear myself faintly in the recording, no! Like I'm slowly drifting out to sea. From there, Kevin says, I followed Silva, flailing behind at a slower pace. Then I began watching him through the windshield of the support vehicle. In that vehicle, he says, is he speeding up? I wondered, after he passed mile 30, it appeared like he was. He finally stopped running at mile 33, nearing a gathering of pine trees. The sun had set, his team took out a folding chair. Phyllis said, "That was really hard." His face looked as if he just finished a brisk walk. Since then, after this visit with Kevin Hadris, Silva ran another 1,000 miles over Mexico's snow-capped highest peak, then along the Gulf Coast before crossing into the Yucatan Peninsula, where the temperature neared 100 degrees. Marathon after marathon. Wow. Extreme difficulties reveal how amazing Herman Silva's running ability is. Well, what makes love so amazing? Is there a contest for who's the best lover out there? We have contests for the best runner. What about the best lover? I don't know of any contest there. How is Jesus going to demonstrate his ability to love? Oh, for an amazing runner, well, there's hardships, making like with Herman Silva here. When we read of the hardships he went through, you just are in awe. So I made a list of, first of all, qualities of love. And I thought of qualities of loving parents, because a parental love for children is some of the strongest, probably the least you can have for a stronger love for a parent toward a child. So these are some things that came to my mind. Qualities of a loving parent. Sacrificial for their best. Patience. Kindness. Gentleness. No anger unless it's for their welfare. Attentive to them. Plans ahead for them. Provides for them. Enjoys them. Unconditional acceptance with boundaries for their welfare. Helpful in many ways, including teaching and training. I'm sure you could add to the list, but those are some great qualities. If I would have all these all the time for my kids, I'd be an awesome parent. Awesome parent. Well, those are good, and those are qualities that Jesus had. Jesus had all of them to the greatest degree. So a runner can do outstanding things, but if you really want to see how good a runner is, you make the circumstances, the challenges even greater. And that's what you do. That's what God did with Jesus. Challenges. So if you want to put the stress on a parent, which happens without even trying to, these are some of the things that parents go through. Problems. Problems that children have. The greater the problems the child has, the more amazing all these loving qualities would be. We just have this. One thing came to mind is, 2 years ago I met this guy who didn't have any arms at all, just blank shoulders. And his first parents just said, "We don't want to have anything to do with him. Bless at the hospital, and the hospital you take care of. We don't want this kid." Both the parents who knew the Lord came by 6 months later, found the child and said, "We want to show him the love of God." They took him and did that. Well, you go, that's impressive. Why? Because the child had a problem. A big problem. So that makes the love more amazing when you see the love pouring out. It's a child that has love. Another thing that causes a challenge is rebellion from children. The more serious the rebellion is, the more amazing it is for the parents to continue loving. That list of qualities up there, this child just rebels in every way possible. Wow, that's really a lot of love that parent has. That goes a week, after a month, after a year. The rebellion only gets worse. You go, I can't believe the love that that parent has. Another area, opposition from the children. It's related to their rebellion. Again, the more serious the opposition is, the more amazing it would be for parents to continue loving. Also, opposition from other people. Especially from those close to family, from authorities in their lives. If other relatives are saying, that's all wrong. You are messing up that kid's life. Who are you to do that with your kid? Any parent knows there's all kinds of opinions out there. And it gets rough the closer they are. Because your parent criticizing you day after day, the way you're raising your kid, that just adds to the pressure of loving your kids through that. length of time. Add length of time to any of these. If you have all of these for a long time, it's too much to handle. We can't handle them. For a runner, like Kevin Thies, I can't do it. Couldn't even do it for one day. And so that makes it all the more amazing. This guy did it, 120 marathons, and he led 111 days. Jesus was here. He had all these things to the max. We didn't even fully appreciate the rebellion, the opposition, the hatred, everything coming at him. And we see him coming down the home stretch. John 13, the disciples didn't know the home stretch. They thought that was still the beginning. They didn't realize death is involved. And so John's writing. He had a good taste of what was going on. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. It had not been an easy 3 years. Horrible opposition. Religious leaders from the beginning. Well, I made a list here. Challenges Jesus faced his 11 people. The highest authorities of the Jewish nation, Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law, and the Sanhedrin, near the beginning of his ministry, said, they didn't come up with this idea at the end, right near the beginning, said he was operating under the power of Satan. Mark chapter 3, verse 22. And that he needed to be killed. John 5. Wow. I mean, this is heavy-duty stuff. The worst accusation ever. You are demonic, and the penalty is death. You can't ask for a bigger accusation. This is how Jesus began his ministry. And he kept on loving, going on with death. Just, these guys are after on his tail all the time. That's what they were thinking. This demonic guy, we need to get rid of him. He needs to be killed. That was the context of him loving people. Satan, the most powerful enemy in the universe, was doing all he could to stop Jesus. Before he began his public ministry, we all know it, 40 days of fasting, who was right there with him? His worst enemy in the universe, the most powerful spiritual being, the evil being against God, and understanding what Scripture says. He was out there to do him in some way, to trick him in some way, tempting him in some way. And all the way, right to this last night, verse 2, John 13, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, one of the close followers of Jesus, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. His worst enemy was on his tail all the way. Religious leaders repeatedly making false accusations against Jesus. All kinds of things. You read them. The New Testament is full of things that were happening against him. Jesus' followers didn't understand much of his mission. Jesus tried to explain it to them. They didn't understand the main purpose of what he was going to have to do until it was all over. Jesus had left. And Jesus' closest followers in the process fighting it out for who's going to be the greatest leader among them. These are the kind that Jesus is loving. Big challenges. All these things. After 3 years of ministry, Jesus also knew that one of his closest followers had already betrayed him to them. Like going up the mountain, things are only getting tougher. It's one of his closest followers is outright betrayed him. For a loving relationship, betrayal. I don't know if there's a worse thing to be done to you. Someone that you invest in love, betraying you for their own small gain in some way. I don't know if there's deeper hurt than that happening. That's what was happening to Jesus. And also he knew that one of his closest followers would deny him in the next 12 hours. He knew that all at that time. So, next slide here. Jesus' loving performance at the end. With all that happening, all that context, and him being totally aware of all that happening, he makes comment, like in Luke 22, says, I eagerly look forward to this time with you guys. Get the picture that he enjoyed being with his disciples. He looked forward to this Passover. He enjoyed being with them. Wow. The guy who betrayed him, he enjoyed being with them? His enjoyment of Judith was so equal to the others had no clue. Who would betray him? Jesus loving him just as much as all the others. Pouring out his love. Jesus washed the feet of his enemy who had betrayed him and the feet of the one who denied him. It was amazing for him to show that kind of love to anyone. Peter, no, this is too much. You should not humble yourself like that to wash my feet. We know what Jesus said. Well, if you don't let me, Peter, you can't have a part of me. I love you so much. Peter let him do that. Judas let him do that too. But we see Jesus just loving, no matter what the opposition was. The greatest enemies, the worst treatment, it's like it didn't face his love. He's just pouring out his love. Goes out to the garden. Betrayer comes. He gets arrested. Peter hacks off a guy's ear. What did Jesus do? Oh, I'm so sorry. Here, I'll heal it for you. Just pouring out love. In the worst situation. Taken out to the cross. Just mistreated. Just the worst kind of abuse. He's treated as the worst criminal. Given the worst kind of death penalty that existed at that time. Out on the cross. Stripped naked. Put up on the cross. And what do we see him doing? Love. Looking out for his mom. Making sure she's taken care of. Criminal next to him. Jesus, remember me. Yeah. You're going to be with me in paradise today. Just pouring out of love to the last minute. Wow. Nothing. No one like him. No one will ever exist like him. Herman Silva is a very unusual runner. But a lover? Wow. The creator of the universe had a plan before he even began creating the world to show the other spiritual beings the depth of his love, the immeasurable grace. How can you do that? I'm going to create some people, give them free will. I'm going to let the enemy do this. You go, no! To show his love. We'll never see, the world has never seen a person like Jesus Christ with that kind of love. And that's where you and me. We're the recipient. Wow. I need help. Lord, help me appreciate that. He's doing that for me. It's the application for us today. We are recipients of God's immeasurable wisdom and love. This massive demonstration that he's doing to all these millions of spiritual beings. We are the recipients of that. As Jesus was loving to the end, he had you and me in his mind. He's always known you and me by name, so we know we are included in his thoughts when he prayed for future believers. John 17. It was as if he was saying, Mike, I'm doing this for you. It's all for you, Mike. Really? Oh my. Nothing can stop his heart for me. Nothing can stop his heart for you. Nothing can stop his heart for Judas. Nothing can stop his heart for Peter. Put any name you want. He just poured out his love. The only thing to stop it is when they or we turn away. We can't change his heart. It's just love and compassion and grace toward us. But when we turn away, we can't experience it. And that's a choice that we have. A choice that Judas had. A choice that Peter had. To turn away. But it was all there. He's the strongest lover of all time. Nothing can stop his love. You can only turn away from his love, but you cannot stop his love toward you. No matter what you've done, the moment you look toward Jesus, his attitude is always completely welcoming toward you. As if his arms would stretch out to you all the time. I need reminders of this so much, I feel like I'm just kind of operating on the blah mode, just going through the routine of life and just blah. I'm not excited about him, not excited about his purposes, and I don't feel like loving and worshiping him a lot of times. And it reminds me, my love, I'm so eager. I love you just as much. And even though my performance hasn't been good, I'm so thankful for his reminder. It reminds me more often that I enjoy being with you so much. I'm so eager to give you the best. I'm so eager to serve you. Think, but look at how I've been acting. You shouldn't be. Why should you do anything for me? Doesn't matter. I'm taking care of it all. I love you, Mike, so much. What would you like to meet for me to do for you? But Jesus told the people that he had cried out for himself. He told me that all the time. Mike, what would you like me to do for you? Well, you should deserve this. Don't mention that, Mike. What would you like me to do? Just tell me. I'm eager to do it. Thanks. That reminder. His response to me is based on his love and his grace, and not who I am, my performance, my merit. Wow. I need that reminder so much. And this is a big reminder to me that if that was God's plan, and if he could demonstrate his love to people treating him in the worst way, I'm no worse than them. Sometimes I can feel like I'm as bad as them, but I'm no worse than them. So if he loved them to the end, I know he's loving me to the end. Lord Jesus, yes, what can we say to your love, your unstoppable love? Not even the greatest evil power, not even the worst treatment, like we've been talking, we're hard put to describe your love and all that you've been through to demonstrate your love. Thank you for your word. It gives us a good picture. Help us remember these things. To appreciate it, to respond to you. That's the least we can do, but it's such a joy to say thank you. Say, here I am. Here I am. Help me believe. Help me understand your love. And you are so eager. Yes. Yes, you'll do that. Thank you for such an opportunity. Thank you in your name, Jesus.